Well, most of us are familiar with the words of Jesus Christ in the Olivet Prophecy, where he says, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." The Greek word here for endure means to stay under, to remain. It's hupomeno, if you need to know that, hupomeno. Enduring means to be able to stay and shoulder a burden, to continue to remain with God throughout whatever we're going through in faithfulness. I imagine there's some here today that are enduring something or another, trying to shoulder burdens and remain faithful. These burdens may be enduring financial difficulties. They may be enduring prolonged job stress. Maybe enduring stress in our human relationships, possibly. Or enduring long-term physical ailments and health issues. How discouraging it is when our bodies don't work the way that they used to. Many have endured or are enduring, as we heard just a minute ago, the stress of losing a loved one. If you're a young person, and I see we have a lot of young people in the audience today, maybe you've had to endure a bully in your life, or maybe someone that was an untrue friend that as soon as you turn your back might be saying something negative about you, but pretend to your face that they might be a friend. One of the worst years of my life was in seventh grade, and who knows, there may be people here today in enduring one of the worst years of their life. We don't know. But in seventh grade, I sat every day with my quote-unquote friends from grade school. And back in that time, seventh grade was now you entered middle school. But somehow I had become really uncool, evidently, between sixth grade and seventh grade. So I was now the target of their put-downs for lunch every day for 9 months. But it was too scary to leave that table. I was more afraid of leaving that dysfunctional, toxic situation than moving on. So I endured that for 9 months, and shouldering a burden or being under a burden takes its toll. Christ reveals that enduring is necessary for the Christian in order to obtain the desired end result or goal. The goal of this life is salvation and the kingdom of God. And the journey we take to get there is one of endurance. Whatever obstacles that are set before us, we have to endure them. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Enduring to the end doesn't sound like a short-term journey, does it? It's a lifelong commitment. Whether that be to the end of the age, if we're living at that time, or whether that just is the end of our lives, whichever comes first. Christ says that enduring is necessary for salvation. Therefore, enduring is necessary for each of us to enter the kingdom of God. Today, I'd like to take a look at what we need to know as Christians about enduring in order to help us endure to attain the goal of eternal life in God's service. We'll see that successful endurance cannot be done on our own. We'll see that we must endure hardships and trials in order to follow Christ to his kingdom. And we'll see that we need a focus of hopefulness and joy to endure. Finally, we'll look at three major obstacles which can prevent us from enduring to the end. The first thing to be aware of regarding enduring is that successful enduring cannot be done on our own. We can only endure with God's active involvement in our lives. Let's take a look at the example of the life of Joseph. Joseph was 17 years old the age probably of some of you in the audience right now, when his brothers sold him into slavery. Imagine the hopes and expectations of a 17-year-old. Joseph was the favorite child of all of Jacob's sons. He had dreams about others bowing down before him. He must have viewed himself as pretty important, pretty special. Then, the next thing he knew, he was somebody else's property, owned by another human being. Talk about pride before a fall. In Genesis 39, we're told that God was with Joseph. God does not associate himself with sin. We know that from Isaiah 59, where he tells us that sin separates us from God. So for God to be with Joseph, it meant Joseph was actively walking with God. God intervened in Joseph's life and blessed him in the Egyptian Potiphar's household at first. Potiphar trusted Joseph and made him overseer of all he had. We're told that Potiphar got to the point where Joseph was doing such a good job for him and running his household and taking care of all the matters that needed to be attended to, that Potiphar did not know what goods he owned, except for the bread which he ate, we're told. So all he had to worry about is, oh, what kind of bread's on the table today? Everything else was taken care of. But as we know, Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph. And Joseph went to prison. So here again, we have another setback in Joseph's life that he had to endure. We don't know how old Joseph was when he went to prison. But we're told that he was 30 years old when he was freed. Imagine being falsely accused and going to prison for years. It would have been natural to wonder why God was allowing him to go through that. It would be natural to wonder if God was still with him going through a trial like that, or with us if we face such a trial. Let's see this by going to Genesis 39 in verse 20. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 20. And we'll look at God's involvement with Joseph. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. Again, he had it so figured out here, and he was running the show so well that the keeper of the prison didn't even have to bother with the things that were in his job description. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So God showed himself to be with Joseph in his trial, just as God continues to be with us in our trial, as long as we're actively walking with him. In prison, Joseph interpreted the dreams, if you recall, of a baker and a butler. The butler was freed, as Joseph foretold. Joseph told the butler to remember him after his release and to put a good word in with Pharaoh, hoping that that would end his trial, that he would be able to be freed from prison. Joseph wanted his trial to end, just like any of us do when we're in the midst of a trial. But God's purpose was not yet fulfilled in Joseph's trial. We're told 2 more years went by that Joseph remained in prison after that butler was freed. Joseph could not end his own trial. Joseph needed to rely on God's timing in his trial. Joseph needed to continue enduring. But he knew he was not alone in the trial. God saw him through and delivered him out of it. God was Joseph's partner in the trial. God also needs to be our partner in enduring. We cannot successfully endure without God. We can only endure this life's challenges through God's active involvement in our lives and in our trial. With that in mind, the next important element in enduring is realizing that we must endure hardship and trials in order to follow Jesus Christ. Let's see this by turning to 1 Peter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. When we land in a difficult patch of life, we have to understand that it is part of our calling. Christ suffered in his obedience to God the Father. We each need to partake in Christ's sufferings to a lesser measure. By enduring through spiritual trial or physical trial, we learn to better understand Christ and what he went through as our Savior. And we draw nearer to God and Christ, relying on them to see us through. That's practice. Practice is what's going to help us later in life endure more and greater trials. Let's see what Paul tells Timothy about endurance by turning to 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. 2 Timothy 2, verse 10. Earlier in the chapter, Paul tells Timothy in verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Let's pick up in verse 10. "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, staying under, remaining, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." Paul's focus in enduring was for the benefit of the church. He knew that if he was faithful, and if he endured, it would help others be able to endure to salvation. Paul then says, if we died with him, if we died with Christ, we shall live with him. Dying with Christ happens daily. We battle our carnal nature, struggling to overcome that daily. We did give our lives over to God at baptism, and that is a ceremonial death, which is a form of dying with Christ. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that he dies daily. His endurance actually involved facing physical peril of death in order to serve Christ. Finally, Paul says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. The New King James translates that as if we endure, as if we suffer. Enduring or suffering, putting up with, being under, remaining, is a mandatory part of a Christian's calling. It's also a necessary component for us to be in God's kingdom. Let's see Paul stress this point by turning to Acts 14, verse 19. Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. Paul and Barnabas had just done a healing before this in our verse in Lystra, and the people wanted to sacrifice to them as gods. They were like, hey, these guys got power. They must be gods. But of course, Paul and Barnabas didn't allow that. Verse 19, Acts 14, verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Mr. Demergian gave us the gritty details of what went into that last week, the stoning process. Verse 20, however, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. So tribulations here in Greek means pressure, anguish, or affliction. Paul does not tell us that we will have to go through one pressure in our lives. He does not tell us that, okay, two pressures and you're good. He says through many pressures, through many tribulations, through much anguish and affliction, we enter the kingdom. We might be asking the question, why? Why is it necessary for us to have to endure trials and pressure and tribulations? These things do not sound pleasant. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 3, and see why that's necessary. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. And also, we'll get some encouragement here, seeing the benefit of enduring. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Trials here, testing or putting to proof. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We go through trials often for our own growth, to have our imperfections purified through the heat of trial. I think we all agree that we each have deficiencies in our faith. These deficiencies need to be ironed out in order to bring praise and glory and honor to Jesus Christ at his return. The trials are necessary to bring us to become the end product, the product that God is building and making us into. That end product will inherit the gift of salvation. Let's look at another scripture that gives us encouragement as we endure trials. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Paul is reciting the many ways by which ancient Israel tempted God in this chapter. And let's pick up just verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, temptation here doesn't mean putting a Twinkie out on the counter as, you know, the children are getting ready in the morning. Temptation means putting to proof. Each of us endures similar tests that all human beings throughout history have had to experience. Sometimes we bring on our own difficulties in life through decisions we make and errors in judgment. Paul in 1 Peter 5:9 says, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, just by living in Satan's world, any human being, whether in the church or out of the church, is going to experience more difficulty because of where we live. But for those of us in the faith, God is actually involved in our testing. Nothing is happening in our lives that he's not aware of or that he is not in control of. We can all take comfort in that. We're also encouraged knowing that since God is involved with us and since he's intimately involved in our growth through our trials, that he promises not to allow us to be tested beyond what we're able to bear. He's loving and merciful, and he will provide a way for us to be able to bear it, to be able to stay under it, to be able to remain. He is there to help bring us through it, so that through trial, our character can become his character. Now, we have seen that we cannot endure apart from God, and we must endure pressure or putting to proof in order to follow Christ to his kingdom. Let's see one additional important aspect to enduring, and then we'll look at some major obstacles which can prevent us from enduring. Please turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews 10, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Here the writer is speaking to Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. He begins by referencing the trials that they had immediately after they were first believers. Hebrews 10, 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, so this is right after they were called, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly because you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, here's pressures again, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. So Christian Jews in Jerusalem were persecuted by Jews that did not believe in Christ. They would have had family, employers, neighbors that had contempt for them because they were turning their back on traditional Judaism, which was viewed as heresy. The majority of the Jewish population viewed Christian Jews as heretics and blasphemers. They were viewed as worse than polytheistic Greek Gentiles. Many first-generation Christians in this room experienced trials when separating from the world and its ways, possibly within your own families. But I imagine that few endured the tribulations and the pressures that the first century church endured. Let's pick up again in verse 34 here, Hebrews 10, 34. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. I don't see anyone volunteering for the plundering of their goods. Is there anyone here who wants to have their goods plundered while they're away at church here? It reminds me of Fiddler on the Roof, right? You know, the wedding, they get all these gifts that everyone has saved up, you know, and then they get smashed. They're plundered, right? Awful. Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance. Now, this is a different endurance here. This is, you remember Mr. Fay Sr., this is hupomone, okay? A little different than the first word that we looked at, hupomeno. So this is hupomone. So this adds an extra element we'll look at here. For you have need of endurance, and that word means cheerful or hopeful endurance. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promises, the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, and here is a foreshadowing of our first thing that can erode or hurt our endurance. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. So here we see again the need to endure in order to have salvation and be part of the coming kingdom of God. There's also, as I mentioned, another element throwing in there into our staying under and remaining as part of our enduring. It involves having a cheerful or hopeful component or element. Paul could have easily just used hupomeno there, remaining under, but instead he uses a word for cheerful or hopeful enduring. We're being told we need to have hope and joy as our focus, even while we are enduring. We'll see Paul mention this aspect again in a moment. But while we're here in chapter 10, let's notice our first major obstacle, as I mentioned, was drawing back. Drawing back means returning to the ways of our pre-conversion selves. Drawing back means forsaking our first love of God and forsaking our love for one another. Enduring requires us to move forward in faith to salvation. Enduring requires us to yield ourselves fully to God's will in our lives. Instead of withdrawing back into ourselves and returning to our pre-conversion selves and our self-centered thinking, pre-conversion selves are self-centered, aren't they? And returning to, drawing back then is a major obstacle which can prevent our enduring. Let's see another obstacle to enduring. Stay in Hebrews, but this time Hebrews 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let's take a look at what the writer places in opposition here to endurance. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's interesting that thought there, that we have a race that's been personally set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we saw the elements of cheerful and hopeful endurance. We mentioned those earlier. Now we see Jesus was aided in the enduring that he endured by focusing on the joy that was set before him out there, ahead. He was joyful because he was about to complete a huge feat in the plan of God, bringing it to fruition. His endurance would provide us joy that is set before us so that we can endure as well. We'll look more at joy in a bit here. Let's go back to the wait that we just talked about. The wait in verse 1. W-E-I-G-H-T. In the Greek, it's defined as a bulging mass. It's also defined as burden, encumbrance, and hindrance. Imagine someone in the developing world. We've all seen these pictures where somebody on top of their head has what it looks like to be about 300 pounds of material, and they're walking along, and, you know, they're not going to be able to run. They have an encumbrance and a hindrance and a weight on them, carrying things on their heads. We can pile similar burdens and encumbrances on ourselves. These can be mental or emotional burdens, or our inability to forgive and move past things with other people in our relationships, our inability to forgive others for their actions, holding on to grievances from the past. These things can knock us off track in our race. Sin is another obstacle that can prevent us from enduring. It's impossible to move forward when you're constantly taking a step back. And we take that step back with sin. We each have to go to God for help with our weight from sin. He is able to unburden us. Burden can block out our vision of the joy that Christ has set before us. Let's see more regarding unburdening by turning to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Christ is discussing his yoke here. His yoke refers to the work that he is working with us in our lives. A yoke is a piece of wood, if you're not familiar, that links two animals together to be able to work, like maybe oxen in a field. And so it allows those two animals to do greater work and be stronger than they would be separately while they work together. Let's keep this imagery in mind as we read Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Christ offers us each the opportunity to be teamed with him, to be yoked together in our work, in our lives. Through Christ sharing our load, we can offload our burdens. He can help us to let go of hurts, offenses, and regrets of the past because his yoke is light. He gave us an example of how to endure in his hour of trial. He focused on the joy that was set before him. He knew he had to endure some awful things coming up ahead of him. But he knew that in the end there would be joy. He would be returning to be with God the Father at his right hand. We too need to focus on that future joy and not be overburdened with the immediate difficulties that come before us in this life that we may be experiencing right now. We've looked at drawing back, and we've looked at laying aside every weight and sin that ensnares us as things that can prevent us from enduring. Let's now see that love is a necessary component in enduring. And the lack of love can actually prevent us from enduring. Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, "What is the great commandment of the law?" Jesus said, "To love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself." This is a summary of the Ten Commandments and the law of God. Jesus said in John 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." He also said, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Since love is the law, therefore not loving is what? Is transgression. Have we ever thought of it in that way before? Love also has a relationship with enduring. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul tells us that love endures all things. Love is described as patient, kind, and it suffers all things it remains under. Love is a necessary component of enduring. Please turn with me to Matthew 24, verse 9. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. We began today with a quote from Jesus from the Olivet Prophecy near the end of his ministry. Here he's foretelling the things that will precede his second coming to his disciples. I'm going to read this from the NIV today because I think we're so used to the language of the New King James that we might pick up something different here. And I want us to notice that this is speaking about the actions and members within the Church of God at that time. Let's pick up in verse 9 in the NIV. "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness," or lawlessness, that word can be translated as, "the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm endures, remains, stays under, to the end will be saved." To turn away from faith means you were part of faith at one time. Betrayal and hatred will be between each other, we're told, referring to those who have been called. How can that happen? The outside pressure of persecution is some of it. That will cause some to love themselves and their own lives more than they love the other children of God. That's why Christ said, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Failing to love your neighbor as yourself is lawlessness. It's breaking part of God's commandment in the law. Because lawlessness will abound, it causes the love of most, it says, polos, much, believers, to be diminished. So we need to be developing actively that love and practicing that love now, because it's not going to be there in the tank then. When love for others grows cold, endurance becomes eroded. Those who endure to the end will be still exhibiting love to one another, both towards God and one another. We see clearly that love is an important element in order to endure. Let's look at one more example of the relationship between enduring and love by turning with me to 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. These are all the putting to proofs. These are all the testing that goes on. These are all the pressures that we're going through, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. We see a picture here of the kind of fruit that is produced by the enduring Christian. This picture is one not only of love, but of love that abounds. Love is a necessary component in being able to endure persecution and tribulation. It is manifest evidence of us being counted worthy of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is the reason why we endure suffering. God promises us future rest from our trials and tribulations. But we must endure while maintaining love for God and love for his people in order to get there. Brethren, before Christ returns, his followers, possibly even you and I, will face true persecution and tribulation over our beliefs. We have to prepare ourselves now by practicing these elements of enduring in the trials we experience today, so that when Matthew 24 times arrive, we have muscle memory of endurance, having experience being put to proof. We understand that in order to be ready to endure, we need to remember these important elements of enduring. We can't endure on our own apart from God. We must remain one, yoked with him. We must remember that we have to endure hardships and trials in order to follow God, in order to be part of his kingdom. We also need to have an element of cheerfulness or hopefulness as we endure pressures and testing, having the same joy set before us that Christ had. Finally, we need to remember the major obstacles which can prevent us from enduring. We cannot draw back into the person we were before conversion. We cannot allow any weight or burden to encumber or hinder us from enduring. We have to allow Christ to remove us of those burdens in order to move forward. We also need to make sure that we are not being moved back a step. For every step forward we take, being moved back a step by sin in our path forward. And finally, we need to have love as a key element to enduring. We're told love endures all things. Love waxing cold threatens endurance. It is God's law for us to love him and to love each other. Let's continue to endure the pressures of this life by setting the joy of God's kingdom and salvation out ahead of us.